Tonight, nutritionist and fitness guru Kimberly Reddy weighs in on the ice cream only diet. Then later, Hannah Stanley checks in from the most magical place on earth. And finally, Mark Carman has a Chicago sports breakdown. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, and I am broadcasting from the live The Allstate Showcase Studios in Los Angeles, and I am excited to hear what our nutritionist thinks about the full pint of ice cream you all consumed, I believe, last night. Craig, you finished yours, your birthday cake,
yeah.
Halo Top ice cream.
It was
awesome. I believe Elliot also consumed the lemon cake Halo Top ice cream. Esmeralda, how far into your pint were you able to finish?
There's still a lot left. It's in the freezer.
I think that's completely acceptable.
I had
punchkis, if not encouraged.
I had punchkis waiting as well later into the night. So it was quite a night for me.
Well, you had to pace yourself. I think that's completely
exactly.
Understandable.
I had a lot of punchkis to eat.
You're a smart lady. I would definitely delay gratification by waiting for the punchkis. Yes,
I hate to object to this idea, but I also had punchkis and I did finish my ice cream.
Well, good for you.
Thank you. It was possible. Is all I'm saying is you could have done it.
It's almost like a smackdown of
consumption.
Of course
not.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was just trying to be. Planning ahead.
Right.
Did you know there were punchkis coming?
I did not. They were punchki surprises.
So you were not given all the information available.
I was not
to plan ahead. So
and then
I just
doubled down and I ate my punchkis to keep the fattest Craig on earth going.
You know, Craig, it's not about what you've done; it's about what you're going to do. I think that's
Amen.
Really
no. I mean, it kind of is about
thing.
What you've
Amen.
Done. Then you got to pay for that.
All right.
Yes, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do. Maybe Kimberly Reddy will help us with that in just a few minutes. Craig, you know that I occasionally either butt dial, purse dial, just accidental dial in various situations.
Yep.
So I accidentally dial. Now, when you accidentally dial someone, what is your first instinct? What's your reflex in that situation?
When I actually discover it, or if later it tells me I left like someone a 3-minute voicemail?
No, if you realize your phone is currently calling someone, do you try to hang up right away, or do you hang on the line till they answer and explain you didn't mean to call them? Do you try to come up with a reason that you were, in fact, calling them? Because I have decided this happens enough to me where I need to start having an emergency. I need to have a plan in place is what I'm saying. Like Esmeralda, right? Knowing she can't consume the pint because she's going to have the punchkis later. Mm-hmm. I need to know if, in fact, I am currently dialing someone I have no intention of speaking to. What is my plan? Do I hang up? Do I hang on and then pretend like I meant to call them? Do I apologize?
And wait 3 minutes before you started speaking? Yeah, no, that's a good point. I guess it also depends on who you called, right? Some people you probably want to hang up on right away, and others maybe you could play it off.
But I hang up every single time. I just I didn't mean to call them. And because in my heart, I'm hoping maybe it didn't register. Maybe I hung up fast enough where the call didn't actually connect to their phone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or is it always going to register as a call?
Can you hear them?
No. Usually what happens is I'll look down and I'll see that my phone is dialing somebody. It happens in my purse.
So it's ringing.
I have this. Yeah. Or I can hear that my phone is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can hear their ringing. So what I'm saying is I purse dialed Kristen Decker today. And Kristen Decker is someone I love talking to, but I also didn't want to. I wasn't intending to call her. I had nothing to talk about. But had I just hung in there, I could have definitely said, "Hey, Kristen, didn't mean to call you. How are you doing?" But Kristen, as sweet as she is, called me later because I had called her. So now I have to tell her that I accidentally dialed, and that was what happened.
I like the idea of like Patty surprise phone calls that your phone just decides, and then you go ahead and stick with that.
I'm amazed that your phone does that. I thought that it's kind of obsolete because the screen goes dark and all that.
Esmeralda, somehow
she's very skilled at still butt dialing people. We do get phone calls from Patty, though, that are several minutes long, and all you hear is rumbling.
Yes,
someone should invent something for you, like an automated message or something that gets sent.
Outgoing message. I need an automated outgoing message.
We apologize. Patty Vasquez has once again butt dialed you. Ignore this phone call if you'd like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As much as she appreciates your company, she did not intend to speak to you at this moment. She does love you and care about you. However, this was not important enough to discuss anything.
Right. No need to call her back. Have a lovely day.
Oh. But what I discovered in the, because Kristen called back and that was very sweet, what I discovered is how much she and several other people in my life are actually kind of getting a kick out of the fake feud between the Patty V and Nick
Pink Oh my God, yes. Yeah, that feud got intense, and then not intense at all because it was never a feud.
It wasn't actually a feud. Right. It was just it was more of a point counterpoint.
Yes,
I believe
that's
it
what.
Was,
yeah, you're right. That's what it actually was on air, was a point that we would take from their show, and then we would counterpoint it on our show.
Well, without ever having heard any of what they said or what you said on your podcast, I was just responding.
Oh, you nailed
to the idea. To the idea that, yes, there are people in the world who prefer Friends over Seinfeld.
That is correct.
For various
right. Some
reasons,
people
yes.
would think that that argument can take longer than 30 seconds.
But I think that, so if we were to break this down into some sort of academic discussion, you know, if you were to say what is funnier and why, I don't know where that would end up. But the discussion yeah. was, which show do you like better? And that
well, right.
is,
and
yes.
Which show is better kind of got into... You know, because you're right, there's academic points. It's not just which show is funnier or which episode of which TV show is funnier, because I would actually contend that certain episodes of Seinfeld are much funnier than anything mm-hmm. individually that Friends put out. But uh-huh. as a show as a whole, and there's a lot of articles on this. I am not the only person to compare these two shows, as I have kind of like jumped into this okay. rabbit hole. Some people think that because the lives of the main characters progressed in a way that was interesting, Friends was a better show overall. Because the lives of the Seinfeld characters, there was no improvement. They never learned the lesson from the mistakes that they made. There was no real growth, and that was a big difference.
And that's what we all strive for, is growth. By the
Amen.
Way, my husband's favorite caller on the subject was the woman who called in and said, who talked about Friends, Seinfeld, and the Dick Van Dyke Show and his friends.
Yeah.
Which I agree. I think that if I feel kind of sorry for her that there wasn't anything in that gap of time that was that drew you in as much. But I tried thinking about this. I get it does depend, right, on what appeals to you,
right,
on an emotional level,
right,
on an intellectual level. For me, it was more Friends.
Well,
than
and
felt.
By the way, you can like both and still think that one is better. Some people got confused at the idea that I was saying one was bad and one was good. You don't have mm-hmm. to say that. You can just say that I like this one better because
I can tell you that I saw every single episode of Friends
mm-hmm.
and I maybe a dozen Seinfelds.
I think a lot of people are like that too, actually, who weighed in on this, because I get mm-hmm. the sense that Nick has not seen many episodes of Friends.
Right, because some people just find them. I know people who just hated Chandler
yeah.
or thought that Phoebe's character was annoying and dull. I mean, there are a thousand reasons in the same way that, anyway. We're arguing it again.
Right, but it's
happening
great.
Again. Yeah. But what I'm enjoying is the feedback I'm getting from the people in my life who are kind of enjoying the point counterpoint
yeah.
and just the discussion. But by the way, we have another argument coming up at 1:30
oh, yeah.
about whether or not Rose could have helped Jack live in Titanic, because it is the 20th anniversary of Titanic, and I contend there was room. Move your ass, girl. You could have been happy ever after. That's all I'm saying. I guess that's true of anybody. Move your ass, be happy.
That is true.
More after this. Kimberly Reddy can tell us about that when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live from the Allstate Showcase Studios West. And I got distracted, Craig. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you've been on Facebook today, but they've got this new thing today celebrating the Facebook Friends 12th anniversary or birthday or something. And it gives you a little video of all your friends. But it's like, here are your closest friends, or at least some of them. But you can go in and edit which ones are your friends. Like, so let's say something's happened in the last few days. You're like, well, that's not the person I want to have at the top of my page. So I'm going to do this, and I can drop in something else. And it gives you a little video of all the fun stuff you've done recently.
Wow. So I want to do that. I'm going to go to there.
I did it, and most of the pictures are selfies from you.
Well, you are in a couple of my selfies, too.
Yeah. Because I never take pictures of myself. So any picture with me in it is selfies
has
from
me
you.
In it? Of course.
No,
all my
there's no
also
sorry.
Have...
I'm like, oh, I look cute in that.
You look cute. You look cute. You know why you look cute in that? Because you look cute.
Oh, you do too.
I'm just saying. Aww. All right, then. Yeah, this is, it's kind of fun. It's a lot of, there's a lot of Carissa. There's Holly. I feel like I'm in Romper Room. I see Holly. I see Joanne and Carissa. Yeah, I've been kind of busy. We're just watching the Democrat debate in New Hampshire. Did anyone get a chance to watch that? Craig, did you get a chance?
By the way, I forgot to tell you, Kimberly is here. We do have Kimberly ready on the line.
Oh, excellent.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Kimberly. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
I have your question. I know that I was supposed to fill out a questionnaire for you, and I am going through it. I don't, because I'm traveling, I don't necessarily have the printer in front of me. So I'm wondering, there's a couple things we wanted to cover. But first, tell us about your 90-day challenge for everybody and how they can register.
Sure. So it's actually a link that is kind of long. It's MindBody. But if you follow me on Instagram at Kim Lives Life Fit, I'm always posting daily with the link and where you can go on and see more about it. But it's basically just a challenge that is not just about losing weight. It's about nutrition. It's about a healthy balance that, you know, is just well balanced. And we'll be talking about wellness topics from stress reduction and lots of things like that.
And I've started the process of registering. You have three different levels where people can participate. One is the workouts where they go and work out with you, right? There's a workout class with you and your partner, Michelle?
Right. That's where they actually go to Chicago Women's Fitness, which is at 30 East Adams. And they actually go and they get customized workout with Michelle, who is amazing. And, you know, you get to be in a group class and kind of get that accountability. And then you work with me as your nutrition coach through the Nonpol app, which is a really cool app where you take pictures of your food and I respond based on that.
And the second one, Craig.
Which is really great. I mean,
yeah, that sounds
I love
fine.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's super easy.
The second one's more, I think, probably going to be more my speed. What's the second one?
So the second one is more, it's online based. So Michelle would send you, you know, your customized workout based on all online. So you would do it on your own, but she'd be sending you exactly, you know, what you do. So you don't have to still think about, you know, what do I do when I get to the gym?
Okay. And if I, like, let's say I, cause I'm like this week, let's just give you an example. This week I've done something called cardio bar 3 days this week. It's, you know, it's the bar method, basically the angry ballet. So let's say,
I love that.
Oh, it's very angry. And they laugh whenever I come in and tell them that. So I've got to go in and do a video with them tomorrow. But it is. It's very. And what I love about the one in Studio City, as opposed to Santa Monica, where everyone's as pretty as you think they're going to be by the ocean, in Studio City, there's all different body types, women of all different ages, and a few men. But is there a way for me, because I do work out in classes, does Michelle have sort of a way to incorporate that into what she would recommend?
Definitely. So she always just kind of like with my survey, same thing. She'll ask you, you know, what your lifestyle is, what do you do now for working out, things that you like, the style workouts that you like, and then she'll kind of build something based on, you know, what you like to do and what you're already doing.
And now, Craig, do you want to ask your question about the plan that you are
considering going forward? So
strap yourself in, Kimberly.
Such a good idea. She's going to love it.
Okay.
GQ put out an article about one of their writers who I guess has taken on food challenges before. He ate something like 12 different kinds of pizza in one day to decide what the best pizza in New York was. So I love this man already. He did a 10-day ice cream only diet of Halo Top ice cream, which we tried last night. It's supposed to be healthy. It's got protein in it. And it's less than 300 calories per pint. So I think that this sounds like a pretty good idea for me. And silence.
Kimberly's been rendered silent, yes.
I want to eat some ice cream all day.
For 10 days.
I actually had a chance to look at the article. And, I mean, at first, my first notion when I heard about this was that he would lose, you know, muscle and that would be the weight. But he actually did the whole body fat percentage with the muscle and he actually lost body fat, some muscle, he said. I mean, some water weight, but not a lot of muscle. So, I mean, you can't argue with facts, but I think, and even he said at the end that, you know, even though you get the results, you're still not going to get the nutrients. And, you know, he got some massive canker sores, so, you know.
Yeah, there was
What are the canker sores from? Why canker sores?
Because it's all cold.
So cold.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. There are cons. You can't live a perfect life, but ice cream for 10 days sounds pretty close.
But I do definitely want to try this ice cream now because, you know, hey, less guilty ice cream. Who doesn't want that?
We do have an extra pint. We have a mint chip for Patty, and then I believe we have something like a chocolate mocha still here. So
wait, you have chocolate mocha left?
Yes, no one went for chocolate mocha.
Get out of here. That was the other one I was going to pick. How funny. So maybe Monday or Tuesday. Yes, go ahead. What's the challenge?
When he eats the pint of ice cream, then he has to eat like a whole head of broccoli after, you know, to balance it out.
That's funny.
That's not an ice cream only diet. I don't know.
Hey,
to object.
We're looking for balance, remember? I'm all about balance.
Right.
You can do the ice cream balance diet.
Yeah, okay. And then I could just have ice cream forever? It's part of my balanced breakfast?
Could you do a pint? Could you do a pint? Can you dip the broccoli in the ice cream?
Why would I want to ruin ice cream?
I'm trying to help you, Craig. I'm trying to help you. Just scoop ice cream.
Okay, no, let's go ahead. Let's dive down that road, Kimberly. What vegetable goes really well with ice cream? Could you pick one?
You know, I mean, I've never dipped my broccoli in my ice cream before. But, hey, you know what, Craig? You try it, and maybe it'll be amazing, and you can mass market that and be a millionaire.
Okay.
I would say carrots.
Yeah, carrots sound nice.
Because they're naturally sweet, and they're just crispy.
Do you guys dip your French fries in your milkshake? Have you ever done that?
Yeah. Don't even finish that question.
Okay.
The Wendy's Frosty and French fries.
So maybe if I just did, like, potatoes directly into my ice cream, would that work?
Craig.
It's not fried, you know. We're gonna wean you to the healthy side slowly.
Right. I like Patty's reaction to what I just said there. Oh, Craig!
Oh, Craig,
you are doomed.
Okay, so we can follow Kimberly on her Instagram account. What's the Instagram account again?
It's Kim Lives Life Fit.
And I already have, so in front of me, I have the questionnaire you sent me. I have to fill this out for you. But I want to go over a couple of things. So let's say, because some of the questions you will tailor to each client, right? So do you eat when you're bored? So what is that a signal of if someone's eating when they're bored? Are they conscious of what they're consuming if they're bored or stressed or it's late at night?
I think it's just, it's mostly when you're bored, it's because, you know, you're stressed or, you know, you can't turn your mind off. You're just looking for something to distract you. So I think that's the biggest thing that I tell people. And, I mean, it's not necessarily that, okay, just don't eat anything, because I think that's even harder for people. I just tell them, you know, try to do something, you know, a little more healthy. So maybe it's some almonds and, you know, vegetables, or maybe it's a Greek yogurt and some fruit or something different like that, or, you know, like a couple small pieces of dark chocolate instead of the whole bar.
There you go. So take some of the advice from Kimberly. We are all committing to being a better version of ourselves this year. Follow her on Twitter, and you can also find her on Facebook to join her for the 90-Day Mind-Body Transformation Challenge. And we look forward to talking to you hopefully next week, and I will get these questionnaires off to you, I promise.
All right, great. Thank you guys so much. And let me know how that broccoli dipped ice cream goes.
I can't wait.
There you go. Wonderful. More after this on Pretty Little Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Got the chills, and I don't know if that's because we have Hannah Stanley on the line or because I just came back from Disney not too long ago. Hannah Stanley, how are you? What are you up to now? About 8,000 miles walking the magical kingdom?
I will tell you, yesterday, as near as I can figure, and that's actually part of what I wanted to discuss with you tonight. Oh, golly, they're cleaning the tile floors. Let me move to a different location. I was at 23 miles yesterday, and I walked somewhere between 5 and 6 today. So I'm right at 29 to 30 miles in, 4 days?
Yeah, so. No, that's what it's like, because you got to hoof it everywhere you go. And as much as I'm sure there are people who need the mobility scooters, most people are just daunted by the amount of walking you have to do. Were you surprised by the increase in mobility scooters just a little?
You know, we're here every single year, so it really didn't completely throw me off. But when I first started seeing them, I was like, whoa, this is kind of a thing.
Yes.
It really is pretty interesting. The other thing is the older kids in strollers are fascinating, and I'm one of them. Oh, I'm not in a stroller. I would love to be. But but I have an 8- and a 5-year-old who do not normally get into strollers, but it is so very far. And for every step I'm taking, they're taking 2. you got to throw them in the strollers. So we rented one of the location strollers and just, you know, pushed them through Epcot.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. There's just too much ground to cover, too many things to see. Plus, I mean, you've invested so much time and resources into going there. You know, hit it and quit it. Get in there and get out.
That's exactly it. And because we do come so frequently, there are some things that we just walk right by and we're like, yeah, next year, not a problem. I don't need to see that princess this year. It'll be fine.
Is there anything new? Now, I know that we had talked a little bit about how there's a Soarin' is closed. So that was one, mm-hmm. obviously. Yeah, very sad, but that'll be open in the summer. Is there anything
new? It
will
be open in the summer.
Is there anything new you know, have seen?
Because this is off season, I think you actually got to see more than I probably did. A lot is closed currently. But what's great is the parks are barren. I mean, we went to Rope Drop the other day, which is where they actually drop the rope to let you into the Magic.
Right. Oh, wow. She's,
I don't know.
You got through. Oh. It's really, really fun.
So the rope, explain what
we
the
missed,
rope drop
yeah,
is.
That's what you said there.
Yeah, we missed that part. The rope drop is.
It's rope okay. drop. The characters come in on the train, the big like steam engine train. So they come in from out of view. Yeah. And they pull in front of the station and then they get out and sing and welcome everybody to the most magical place on earth. And it's just amazing. And you get chills and you get teary eyed. And so then once you get through the turnstiles and get through that kind of juggernaut of people, the park is empty for the first hour. You can get on everything. And so that's been really, really great. That's a huge tip. If you guys, anybody's going, come for Rope Drop. Because one, it's a really special core memory, as they would say in Inside Out. And then it's just fantastic because you have so much ability to get on rides that you usually have a huge over an hour wait time for.
Can I ask a favor? And I forgot to do this when Patty went and I thought of it too late. But Hannah, if you would take some photos with a stranger and then I'd like to Photoshop my face onto that stranger because I've never been and I would love to pretend that I went there. So just every once in a while, take a photo with someone you don't know and then I'm going to Photoshop my face onto those people.
Well, why don't you just Photoshop your head onto Steve, my husband?
Okay, all right, or
he
that.
He won't mind.
Right.
Okay, I don't, I mean, I feel like if we were embracing, that would be a little bit more special.
Right, I just thought that it would be nice if you brought one other person in, so it seems like, oh, Craig's there too.
I think that's a great idea. I love it.
Patty. Yeah. I think everyone, if our listeners, if anyone is going to Disney World or Disneyland in the next, I don't know, 6 months, just send us a picture with strangers and Patty and I will Photoshop our faces on there.
That sounds good.
That sounds awesome. That does sound very good. Yeah.
No,
but what's so interesting is I have an Apple Watch, which is essentially for me a fitness band. And I'm pretty good. You know, I've been running, so I've been paying attention to how it tracks my steps and my mileage and, you know, what I believe is my heart rate. And then we also have our phones, which have multiple different apps that track our steps. They're all different. And so that's what's been interesting is my husband's had his phone in his pocket the whole time. So we feel like his is a little bit more consistent. My phone's either been in a backpack or something. But my Apple Watch, I think, is a little bit off because I'm holding hands with the kids so frequently. My arms don't move.
Oh, interesting. So you think you're being undervalued at the amount of work you're doing.
Which is so consistent in my life. But yes, I think for the steps specifically, yes, it is in fact undercounting. And that's why I'm kind of rounding up somewhere around 30 miles in 4 days.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. No, it's a lot of work. I think what did you term it? Disney butt? Is that what you were calling it?
We're hashtagging it Disney butt. Yes. Because it really does need to be a thing. I mean, if I did this every day, I would be so toned. It would be great.
That was the thing is I didn't feel bad about not where you county were. I mean, who are the people that go to Disney and carve out time to work out?
I think that those are business travelers. Those are the only ones I can figure out actually do it because they're on the treadmill. I had to run over to the spa for not a spa treatment, but for a different thing. And there were people actually working out. And I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
But they did not look like they were traveling with kids.
Yeah, you're like, this is happening. Yeah, that's key.
Oh, that's you. Yeah, yeah. There were also older people who I saw on the walking path, and you know, I saw one lady, you know, running, and I was like, well, clearly you're training for something, because why the hell else would you be doing that? But I don't think it's normal.
No, I agree. Well, the other thing that's normal but seems so incongruous with the experience is how many people now, maybe because I went during the holidays and it was much more crowded, is how many people are anxious and slightly irate all the time when they're there. Are you running into any of that?
Oh, constant.
What is
that? A very good friend of mine told me that Disney is the greatest amount of kids stress you will ever see. And it's kind of true, but I think it's also the parents. Here's what I figured over years of doing this. There are so many people who save for so long because it is so pricey to do this that they want to suck the marrow out of that Disney trip. So come hell or high water, they need to get that fast passes. You know, it needs to work perfectly because you got to hit these rides because we're going to that park tomorrow. The kids are like, we just want to swim. It's so nice here. And they're like, you can swim at home. I mean, I've seen parents freak out about swimming in line at the monorail station. So, if, you know, they miss a monorail, then they're going to miss their fast pass, or they're going to miss their reservation. And I get it. I really do. But I just want to kind of like pixie dust them and be like, dude, chillax. This is vacation.
Yeah, I agree. I wish that we could give people like all those pamphlets, all those websites, all those planning strategy things. And I'm sure it probably is reiterated, but it's if you just slow down a little bit or skip, if you get a chance, how many more days do you have left in Disney, Hannah?
We're actually leaving tomorrow and then we're doing a cruise. But there has been skipping, Patty. You'll be proud.
Yes. Have you been skipping it all yet?
Oh, yeah.
Preston, oh, yeah.
We were at Disney. Yeah, we were, you know, Preston, she's the skipper. She asked you. We were at Disney Springs last night. And she goes, Mama, it's time to skip. And I went, okay, let's do
this.
And then we went skipping through Disney Springs, which is just a glorified mall, but it's great. Oh.
We are hanging out with Hannah Stanley, who is reporting live from Disney World. And now that I have a little bit of idea, and for people who this might seem an unattainable goal, I mean, maybe you don't have any desire to go to Disney World. I didn't. My mother kept saying, I want to take the children to Disney World. And she said just like that. And for years, I mean, my mom was on me for many years to take the kids. And I don't regret going sooner. I think that we went at the right time when I could kind of afford it, when my mom could – we could help each other out paying for it. And I think the kids were the right age. Steve and I were at the right place, especially having a child with special needs. And Disney is extraordinary when it comes to families like mine. So we've talked a little bit about the magic. Let's talk about a little bit when we come back, the adult stuff I'm so happy that you enjoyed my favorite cocktail at Disney World. Let's talk a little bit about going around the world and at Epcot. We're hanging out with Hannah Stanley. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. And from our Allstate Showcase studio in a lobby or a hotel or somewhere, wherever she can do it, east in Florida, Disney World, is the one and only Hannah Stanley, who is there with her family and heading out to the Disney cruise. You've been on Disney cruises before?
Yeah, we did the cruise last year, and it was so great. It's a perfect – I mean, I would come down just for the cruise, but it's nice because of the age of the kids that we do add on park time as well. It's wonderful.
Well, and we spoke before the break about how, you know, people save up their whole lives, and it has to be this experience, and this has to be accomplished. And, you know, maybe because you have perspective in having been there before, and maybe because I was like, you know, I'm here, this is what it is, and I'll take things as – you have to be able to roll with it. So much is tied into it financially and emotionally. I just wish that more people could relax. I just saw so many exhausted and angry people. But one place where it seemed like adults were the happiest were in Epcot, as they were drinking their way around the world. That seemed to be some place that was happy making for adults.
Yeah, it is. You can now drink one location in Magic Kingdom, and that's at Be Our Guest, which is the newest of the restaurants. Well, almost the newest of the restaurants. But that is technically in Beast's Castle. It's his, you know, whatever. It's based on Beauty and the Beast. And that's the only place you can buy alcohol. However, Epcot's the opposite of that, where you can drink in every country. So once you get to World Showcase, which is the back of Epcot, where they really pile on the mileage for those of us who are walking, every single country has their either cocktail of choice or drink of choice or beer of choice. And, you know, sometimes it's sponsored. I think Molson is the big sponsor in Canada. And you can literally drink around the world as a thing. And it's been done. And my husband enjoyed himself a lot yesterday.
There was something, there were things, I'm looking for the, and I loved France because they do a Grand Marnier slushy. I can't remember the name of it, like a Royale something. And Grand Marnier is my favorite, just sipping. It's like a cognac. It's orange flavored. It's very thick. It's a little syrupy. It's a little sweet. It's definitely high in alcohol. So your husband had two of those, but you also enjoyed one of them. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I am not a drinker, as you know, and it was still very quite tasty, yummy. They also have a limone liqueur version of it for those. And that, I think, would have been my next had I been able to down a second.
Well,
with the limone.
And there is a lot of an amazing food, too, in every country. Now, if you went to Japan, they have a frozen Kirin beer, Craig, which I think that you would have loved. You can get Kirin beer is a Japanese beer, and what they do is it's like a frozen soft serve on top of the beer. You should Google it. Google frozen
that.
Kirin beer. Yeah, frozen Japanese beer Epcot. I think it will come up.
Epcot. Yes, I'm quite sure it will. It really is very fascinating what they do. And then, of course, you get the added benefit of talking to people from the country. They have a lot of exchange students who come over. And so you get to learn about the country or the fact that this is or isn't actually traditional, you know, because a lot of these things are Americanized so that our palate can accept them better. And so it really is pretty fascinating. I love Epcot. It's my favorite.
Yes, I have to agree. And so not just because of around the world, the food we ate at some, we had some great Mexican food and German. We ate a lot. We went there 2 days. But also of all the parks, they were also the most kind when it came to accommodating a child with a disability. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's just how the park is set up and how the people are trained there, but they were the most just gracious with us. Animal Kingdom is very condensed, isn't it? It's a very there's something, it's almost like a smaller property and all the walkways seem to be narrower. So everyone seems a little more tense.
Yeah, technically it is the largest property because of land space.
Oh, that's right, because of the animals. Right.
The animals. Because... However, the actual walking space is very condensed. It also is very obvious when it's hot and humid because there are smells that go along with animals and it becomes a little bit less enjoyable. That's not my favorite. Not at all.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios, which is the other property that's been around for quite some time, and has gone through a rebranding. So it's Hollywood Studios, and that's very small, very small. You could do each of those parks in half a day if you hustle.
Yes, I enjoyed Hollywood Studios a lot. Did you do the Tower of Terror?
No. I have done it once.
I don't know that I would do it again. Do you know who absolutely loved it? Was Declan.
Really?
I don't know how. Oh, when we came up to the top and those doors opened over the whole park, he couldn't stop laughing. Griffin was with Steve and he was like dug into his rib cage and like, and I think he hurt his neck because he wrenched it from like just the impact. I was okay because Declan was, I mean, he was laughing the whole time, just laughing nonstop. And I was like, okay, this is worth it. Please let it stop. Please let it stop. No, this is great. This is great. Please let it stop.
No, when you get, and everybody, all the parks do this, when you get the picture of you on the ride, the one, I don't have it from when I went on it years ago, but I think I look like a cartoon character where my eyes and then my jaw was down like past my belly button. I was like, I don't dig on that. It's not
who photographs well on a ride? Before we let you go, I want to find out how it turned out with your pirate costume.
Oh, that's coming up. So I'll have pictures.
Oh,
that's going to be on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on the cruise, which is pretty great. It is a pirate night. They have a pirate party on on the top deck where all the pools are. They actually cover the pools. And so you can dance on top of them and stuff. It's a whole pirate. And then they shoot fireworks off like in the commercials.
So wonderful. Yeah. I'm so jealous. I mean, I was just there and I'm already jealous. Hannah Stanley, thank you so much. Everyone follow her on Facebook. You can see her adventures in Disney World. I get the private pictures and thank you for those. And that sounds naughty, but it is what it is, everybody.
I have not. You're one of the only people who's seen them. I haven't posted anything on Facebook, but I will. I will be posting them as soon as I'm able to when I get back. But I really was trying to be very focused, very living in the now.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I'll tell you more about what's happening this week when we talk next. So things are still good here. Not what I'd hoped, but everything is okay. Thank you, Hannah Stanley, and have a great time. We'll talk to you next week, whether you're back or maybe from the cruise. I don't know what your plans are, but whatever you want to do, maybe from a spa. No, oh, by the way, I forgot to take my Brazilian selfie. I am so sorry. I had that done today and I thought of you and I forgot to do the selfie. I know. Next month, I promise.
Disappointment. To personify it. All right, I will be back. I will be in the studio with you, I believe, next week.
Okay, wonderful. Safe travels and my best to your family. Hugs and kisses, Hannah Stanley.
Thanks, Daddy.
More after this on 720. Bye. You're listening Pretty Late. More after this. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. Do a little bit of work here in Los Angeles. Back home in Chicago, we've got Craig, Aubrey, Esmeralda to hang out with us tonight. Plus, we've got Carm on the line. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I have never wanted to talk to you more than I want to talk to you right now.
Why is that?
I just feel we haven't been together in a long time, and we just need a little reconnection right now, and this is a big moment for me. I hope you feel the same way.
I do. I've missed you. I know that you were doing some broadcasting for the Rokan show last week, doing all their sports reporting. What else have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, I got my outstanding work, as I like to put it, at fansided.com. I know you read and watch my videos all the time. And we've been entrenched with Northwestern basketball. I was out at Welsh Ryan Arena tonight. Big win for the Wildcats, knocking off Minnesota as they try to recover their season. And more important than all of that, Patty, of course, my 6 a.m. hoops. I mean, I really was a force today, getting in the lane, causing all sorts of havoc. It was really a performance for the ages.
Now, are you let me guess. I'm going to go ahead and guess that you are a forward.
No.
You're a guard? What are you?
Point guard.
All right, then. I'm impressed. Got a lot of ball handling skills.
I'm driving the lane. I'm a 5'10" guy. I can't play. Can't be banging in the post with those big boys. I gotta, you know, facilitate the action, shoot the rock, all that type of stuff. Use my speed. Yeah.
All right. Fair. Well, you've developed it quite a bit with you blend tennis, you got basketball. You know, these are two sports that complement each other. You got to have a lot of endurance. Got to have a lot of, you know, be able to move quickly from one side to the other.
Well, you got to have that lateral speed. You got to have that burst. You got to have that leaping ability. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you do when you're doing your whatever you do with the million different exercises that I get to watch you do on Facebook. I mean, come on.
You know what my new thing is, Carm? And I wish we could find a class that's similar in Chicago. I'm doing this thing called cardio bar. And the best way to explain it, it's bar method. And the best way to explain it is angry ballet is the only way I can explain this exercise. It is mean. It's harder. I have a harder time keeping up in this class than I do in CrossFit. No barbells, just a ballet bar. I'm not even, yeah, it's brutal.
That sounds intense, and all those classes terrify me.
I think we need to do a Pretty Late field trip and take everyone for some bar method. Learn how to do. And yeah. I wish they would just call it angry ballet. Don't you think more people would show up for angry ballet?
Probably. But, like, I mean, any of those classes, body pump, pump this, angry ballet, whatever else you just said, I mean, they all terrify me. I'll do a yoga, I'll do a spin class, give me a stretch class. But when you start throwing in, like, pumping and this and that, it's like, okay.
Okay. It's gotten to be too much.
That's just where I, you know, I get a little intimidated.
Well, what have you got to tell us? We're coming, let's see, there's so much going on. Yeah, no, there's a lot happening. Well, all right, what would you like to tell us about? You go.
Okay, if we're just giving me the open dance floor tonight, I can take it from there.
It's all skate, my friend. Go.
It was a phenomenal Blackhawks win tonight. Heard here, of course, on 720 WGN, and Jonathan Toews with a game winner in overtime. But it's just so cool when they play at Phoenix and the Blackhawks score and the whole arena goes crazy because there's, you know, gazillion transplanted Chicagoans who figured out that our city's broke and our parking has been sold off and it's freezing here, so why not just move out to Arizona?
No disrespect
to, you know, all that. So I just thought that was all very cool to watch. And Kane scoring and Toews scoring multiple times and Hossa scoring. It was just a great night for the Hawks. And, you know, we're in the second half of the season now. So, you know, it's getting to that point where you look at it and there's the Capitals out there and the Kings are good and the Blues are good too. And you can pick a handful of other teams. But, I mean, the Hawks are right there, back-to-back as possible. So tonight was a good win. And the Bulls are off tonight, Patty. They're going to be back on the court in Denver tomorrow. Nice win over the Kings last night. Jimmy Butler with a little tendonitis in the knee, so he sat out his first game of the year, which is concerning, but they still won. And Etuan Moore has been getting more time at a big night with 24, and Derrick Rose looked good again, so that's exciting. And, hey, we're into February, so that means spring training starts this month as well, so that's kind of crazy, right?
Ooh, I know. So when are pitchers and catchers?
I don't know the exact date, but it's, you know, 2-3 weeks.
That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
And Jake Arrieta, your number one starter, best pitcher on the Cubs, he had an interesting tweet out there today saying that for everything that Cam Newton has gone through, he'd like to see the Panthers win it. And, of course, the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday here, little 5:30 kickoff. I would love to see Carolina win, but I'm betting on the Broncos to cover.
Because of Cam Newton, or do you have other reasons? Just in general, just the team.
Always fade the public, Patty. 24 of the last 26 Super Bowls, Las Vegas has made dough. So wherever the public is, wherever that money, wherever the public thinks is going to win, you don't want to be on that side. And everybody is betting Carolina. So look for the Broncos to at least make it competitive. That's how
all right. Denver's I don't
got,
know.
I mean, if you get into the actual, you know, parts of the game, Denver's got a great defense. You know, they were able to limit Tom Brady and beat the Patriots. That's an incredible accomplishment. Cam doesn't have the experience. He hasn't been there, despite the fact that Carolina's rolled all season long. So you can make, you know, plenty of reasons. But and Peyton Manning, you know, this is his last game. He's going to be ultra prepared, and he still is capable of playing well. So there are reasons to you could come up with it, as far as Denver winning outside of the contrarian bit gambling.
Well, especially because there's talk about the fact that this might be his last game. I mean, is there how often does a quarterback, does it seem it's looming that the Super Bowl appearance might be his last game? I would imagine that adds to their adrenaline, to their performance. Is that anything that plays into it?
Well, I mean, this is a rare circumstance for sure. And, I mean, you're always going to be super hyped playing in any Super Bowl, so how much more added there is, that's super hard to measure. But it certainly adds to the drama of it, right? I mean, this is the last game. So as far as just from a pure viewing standpoint, I mean, that's just, you know, something else that's added in. A couple Super Bowl facts for you. The cheapest ticket to the Super Bowl, face value, upper deck seat. Patty, you want to guess?
Upper deck seat is $2,500.
Well, that, like, in the resale market, it's about $3,000. But the actual price of the ticket from the NFL, the cheapest, is $850, right?
Okay. All right. $850 is still a lot for an upper deck seat. That's nosebleed area.
Right. Imagine $850, right? And then a box seat is, I want to say, $1,600 or $1,700. And then a club-level seat with, like, the drinks, everything is $3,000. But let's go back to Super Bowl I, 1967, 50 years ago, the L.A. Coliseum. What do you think a ticket to the Super Bowl cost?
$5.
$12, and people thought that was outrageous.
They thought it was exorbitant? Wow.
Yep. A 30-second commercial for that game, which was televised by both CBS and NBC. You know, this year is, of course, just CBS. You know, you would never see two networks have a game now. But back then, it was on both networks. $37,500. This year is $5
million. $5 million? I didn't realize it had gotten that high. And, yeah, well, and the commercial situation has gotten out of control where they start leaking commercials, and now there's a contest Doritos has, who has the best one, and someone could win $1 million. There's a lot going into the commercialization, which, you know, which is fine. Everyone's making their buck. You never, when are you going to have that many eyeballs on a TV set at the same time again? I mean, people are not DVRing it as much, right?
You know, I mean, and that's why they pay what they pay. I did read, though, that the best value for any advertiser as far as total eyeballs and what they were paying per viewer to see something was actually at the Oscars and not the Super Bowl.
No, is that true?
Yeah.
Huh, I would not have thought that.
I've been doing a massive amount of research on this stuff.
Well, do you watch the Academy Awards?
Not for very long.
Yeah,
give me the best picture and I'm good.
For me personally, I know way more people that watch the Super Bowl than watch the Academy Awards. That's so strange.
I mean, it's not the same price for the commercial there. But as far as pure value and the amount of eyeballs and
how much you spend,
the Oscars was the best value.
I see. Hey, Carm, can you hang out for a little bit longer?
Yep.
We're hanging out with Mark Carman. You can follow him on Twitter at The Carm and on Facebook, Mark Carman. More on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN after this. Look at me. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. And back home in Chicago, we've got Craig Collins, who's taking your calls and your texts at 312-981-7200. Esmeralda's keeping track of everything you need to know. But on the line with us, we have Mark Carman, and we're learning everything there is to know in the world of sports. And we've covered, the Blackhawks won. Wonderful overtime goal that was fantastic against Arizona. We have the Bulls were off tonight, and that's fine. Super Bowl Sunday is coming up. Where are you watching the game, Carm?
I actually will be at the fan-sided offices on Sunday afternoon. Working, Patty.
Right after doing
a little afternoon radio with Adam Hoge, 3 to 5. We'll have Jared Payton on, who will be at Levi's Stadium in beautiful California, reporting live from the venue.
Right, and he's got the Walter Payton Award. They're down to three finalists, and they meet with them. And basically, it's an athlete who has contributed both, you know, to his community as well as being obviously a star on the field. Who are the folks that are up for eligibility? The nominations.
You know, I actually am sitting in my car as to not awaken the old condo, so I don't have those names in front of me.
That's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it sounded great.
Okay.
I know.
I should have that memorized, Patty, but I don't.
Well, I know that Jared was very passionate about that, and it sounds like something that he loves being able to participate in every year to have that big moment for an athlete down on the field. Oh, by the way, did you get a chance to see, speaking of big moments, I got a little weepy-eyed last night on the air. Have you had a chance to see the video with Corey Crawford visiting a young fan of his and babysitting a little bit, making some mac and cheese?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right?
We were trying to figure out a segment to highlight some of the things that our favorite Blackhawks have been able to do. And by favorite, I mean all of them. It's one of those things where you watch. I mean, I think I got weepy-eyed just knowing that those guys get it. You know, they just seem to get how big that is for a kid like Ben. And it was very sweet. But,
you're in that position, you have a tremendous opportunity to have influence, right? And and do beautiful things. And hats off to Corey and, you know, the Hawks for reaching out like that. And it's very cool, but you don't want to take it for granted that guys will do that. But it's also, I do feel like it does come with the territory, right? I mean, if you're in that spot, you really should relish the opportunity to be able to make a difference, not just both playing and living the dream for yourself, but also giving back.
Yeah, and they certainly have done that. Tell us a little bit about FanSided. This is the SportsIllustrated.com site, correct?
Yeah, they're FanSided is it's a website started up by three guys back about 10 years ago, and just grew and grew and grew. They got about 300 websites or 300 sites without throughout the network. Covered blogging about. There's a Bears blog, there's a Cubs blog, there's a Sox blog, there's a, and every other team in the NFL, right? So there's the Chiefs and the Niners and this. Where, so it's just kind of your one-stop shop to, for coverage on all across the map. And it's affiliated with Sports Illustrated, so, SI links a bunch of articles, and that obviously helps give it a little more credibility, a little more traffic and all that type of stuff. And my videos are all over the different pieces that they're writing up. So I just did one as I was giving you the Super Bowl notes, Patty. The Super Bowl then and now, 50 years ago, is just kind of, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl one, it was two-thirds full. It didn't sell out. I mean, think about that, right?
That's crazy.
Isn't that?
Yeah, can't even, right.
And just... so that just that was kind of a fun one to do, just to look at where we've come in 50 years. But it's always just different. Whatever the big stories are going on. Golden State is very cool. They were at the White House today visiting with the President of the United States. Did you see Barack Obama made a phone?
Yeah, he totally geeked out on his basketball. Like, he's throwing terms around like he knows what he's talking about. It was very cute.
He loves his hoop, and then he said his best line was like, it's really thrilling to be here amongst, one of the greatest, teams of all time. Unfortunately, there's only one of you here, but Steve Kerr from the 95-96 Bulls. Good to see you. he was propping up Golden State, and then Kerr, of course, who played for the Bulls, now coaching the Warriors. That was pretty funny. So...
That's great. Yeah, what a great moment. I mean, like, that's kind of – I don't know where that falls. I mean, it's been a while since they won. It's weird how they schedule these things. You would think once you win the championship, you go, like, within a few weeks. But, no, they do these things 6 months out. And it's like, oh, yeah, right, those guys won.
Right. I mean, that's true. Golden State, though, I mean, they're just crazy. They've lost. They're 45-4.
I mean, what?
That's tied for the best record in the history of the league through – 49 games. I mean, that's just nuts, right?
Yeah, that's a bit crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Steph Curry, Patty, he last night in Washington, he had 51 points, 36 of them in the first half. He shot 13 of 14 from the field. He missed one shot. So if God had come down and played himself, right, he would have only made one more shot than Steph did. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they're a very fun team to watch, and for us basketball fans out there, it's kind of a little historic thing that's going on with the NBA's regular season this year.
Yeah, it's funny. It's one of those things where I haven't paid attention to Chicago Bulls. I mean, mostly what I learn about the Bulls is from you when we talk every week. And because I guess not that I'm a Fairweather fan, but I am a momentum fan. I guess when things kind of look, we just celebrated again, as we always do this time of year, the 85 Bears. We can't get enough of that team. Is it? It's the 85-86 Bears, I guess, to be more specific. But is it 85-86? Yes,
no,
right?
No, it's called 85.
It was called 85. Yeah. Did you get a chance to see any of that coverage? We haven't spoken since all those celebrations occurred.
I have not actually seen. It was on tonight. I've been out, so I have, and I have not watched it. But I'm very much looking forward to it. And, that team was, at least by my knowledge, by far, I'm going to say by far, the best team of all time. And if people can argue with that, fine. Okay. They were by far, again, the most entertaining team in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's not even close.
I agree. So. And then again, I haven't really watched any other team as closely as I did. Although the following year with the Fog Bowl was entertaining, the 85 Bears were spectacular. One loss against Dolphins. I mean, come on, it didn't get any better than that.
Right, and Ditka and McMahon and the Fridge and Walter, and it was endless.
Thayer and Hampton and Van Horn. I mean, like, it was just a great team.
It was.
Duerson and Dent. Oh my God, it goes on and on.
It does, Patty.
Fensick. I got more. There's more. Mark Carmen.
You want to do a verse from the Super Bowl Shuffle? Pick a guy. Let's go.
Yeah. I guess just the punky QB. Go ahead.
You want me to do the punky QB? I'm the punky QB known as McMahon. When I hit the turf, I ain't got no plan. I just throw my body all over the field. I can't run, but I can throw the pill. I motivate the cats. I like to tease. I play so cool. I aim to please. So why you all got here on the double to catch me doing the Super Bowl Shuffle?
And that's Mark Carmen. Follow him on Twitter at the Carm. Catch him at FanSided and on Facebook. Thanks, Mark Carmen. That made my night. I'm gonna fall asleep just dreaming of you singing like for the punky QB.
Daddy, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Carm. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Baskin at 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. And we're kind of excited because I believe, Craig, were we right? Do we have on the line with us? Oh, we do. That means we do. Oh, I'm excited. Oh my. This can only mean one thing, that the distinguished, wildly talented, insightful, world-renowned Dr. Lars Dingman is on the line with us. He's our music psychic, and we're always thrilled to have you on the air. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Patty. I've been in Los Angeles for the past several weeks shooting a reality television show about my life, and I was at the improvisation comedy club last Wednesday doing a show there, and the outcry from the public has been fantastic, so I'm quite well.
And I apologize. I know you had extended a gracious invitation to me for this Monday evening's performance, and I was not able to make it because we were doing the show at exactly the same time. I'm sure that you had a wonderful turnout. What was the reaction of the audience members who had perhaps seen you for the very first time? And by the way, for those of you just joining us, or maybe you've heard Dr. Lars Dingman and you've thought about, you know, sharing your songs and wanting to experience maybe his talents as far as it goes with the insight into your lives, give us a call at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. And so how did the Monday evening performance go? I'm sorry, the presentation.
It was quite good. We had we filled the room at the improv, and then I did about 6 or 8 readings with people in the audience, and met a celebrity actress who evidently is on a soap opera, daytime, whatever they call them. She's quite successful. I don't own a television. I prefer the radio and books. But she evidently is quite a television personality, and she was quite happy with the show, and it was it's a different world out here in California.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's that had to be a remarkable evening, and I'm so, again, so sorry that I missed it.
You were very kind sending those flowers and the salmon backstage. It was a delicious thing to eat after the show, the lox with the bagels and the cream cheese. It was fantastic. I appreciate you thinking of me in that way.
Yes. Well, and then what kind of reaction were you getting as far as, like, you know, were some people, and I'm guessing you get this a lot, where people are a little bit timid, maybe a little, you know, hesitant to participate in it?
They're timid and they Twitter and they think it's all a joke. And my curse is I'm incredibly hilarious. That's my curse, Patty. Because I have this gift, I personally feel that the best way to take your medicine is with a spoonful of sugar. So I'm able to be humorous and comical in relaying the basic tenets of why my particular psychic gift dovetails well with nuclear science. I explain that to the crowd, and some of them look at me like a dog. You know how they tilt their head and when they don't understand, and they that. But by the end of the show, everyone understood, and they were on their feet, goggling their drinks and barking like seals.
Really? How do you how do you lead someone to that moment?
Well, they all people need typically. Not everyone, but the people in this audience were interested in changing their vibration, their vibrational frequency, changing their vibrational imprint. And to do that, you have to create sound, and you change the energy in the body chakra. So by goggling, you're getting that low, very low rumble sound in its... And by doing that, you're able to slightly adjust your vibrational intensity and frequency. And I told the people by doing it every morning when they brush their teeth, while visualizing the changes in their life that they would like to achieve, over time, they will realize that the changes will have instituted themselves because of this shift, vibrational shift that they are causing by the goggling.
Well, we do invite our listeners to perhaps invite a vibrational shift in their lives. Give us a call at 312-981-7200. And don't forget, because we know you are putting yourself out there and you feel vulnerable, we do have, you know, we will dangle a little prize for you. We have a $25 gift card to Lil Malnati. So not only will you have a vibrational shift, but you will also enjoy some of the best pizza there is in the, not only just in the country, but I think anywhere and whatnot. So give us a call at 3.
I was in Chicago not long ago, and I had one of those pizzas there, and it was ridiculously delicious. There's yellow corn meal in crust, and thick, like a blanket of sausage on top of the pizza, as if you were in winter, and you were pulling up a pig blanket to keep you warm.
It is true. It is most definitely a blanket of sausage. I'm a big fan of their just the cheese. I you know, because the tomato sauce is so incredible, the purity of it with the crust and the amazing cheese. It's all fantastic. Oh, by the way, Dr. Dingman, we do have a listener on the line. We have Larry, who would like to share three songs with you. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, good evening. And how are you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing good, Larry. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay. And what are the last three songs that your iTunes or your digital player shuffle randomly played for you?
Okay. Knowing Me, Knowing You by ABBA.
Right.
Donna Summer, Last Dance.
Okay.
And Linda Clifford, If My Friends Could See Me Now.
It sounds like you need some new records.
No, I like the oldies. I'm a guy from the 70s.
Dance music
is my thing.
When they made good music, analog music, not the digital music. So it's a waveform and not ones and zeros, which is a slight difference. Say the titles again for me, please.
Knowing Me, Knowing You by ABBA, Donna Summer's Last Dance, and Linda Clifford, If My Friends Could See Me Now.
It sounds to me like you're going through a transition in your romantic life, moving from one relationship to a relationship that you feel is bigger, better, and more positive for you. Is that, would you say that's accurate?
Oh, right on. Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, you're in the midst of doing this. You're with someone that you had been with for a long time, and you decided it was not working for you.
Time for a change.
Right, and that's what the song title points to, that you are rightfully leaving that relationship in the past. And now if your friends could see you now, you found a new person who you feel will delight you both mentally, physically, and spiritually. Yes?
Hey, that you've got it exactly, Doctor.
Now, who is this new person?
This new person is a former colleague of mine. Mm-hmm. Who he's a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. And I we get along great. He's he works for the state, and I work for a Catholic university here in Chicago.
Okay, so this is not a supervisor, but a guy that you used to be a peer with, a yep. work friend.
A colleague, yes.
Colleague, yes. And at some point in the recent past, your friendship kind of burned and bubbled into more of a romantic connection, yes?
Yes, indeed. Oh, it has. Yes, indeed, Doctor.
And this happened during, I don't know if you were watching a film or a television program, but you were viewing some sort of performance, some sort of taped, not a live show, but some sort of taped performance, like a Netflix night, and one thing led to another, and suddenly you realize it was more than just a friendship.
Well, actually, it was during a football game, NFL game on playoffs.
But you were not physically there. You were watching it on the television, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing,
okay.
I'm seeing the two of you bonding over some sort of televised event. Now, do you see, I also feel that though you want to stand on the top of the world and tell the whole world, if my friends could see me now, look how happy and wonderful I am, I feel that down, buried in your psyche, there's some bit of doubt because of the past relationship. You are concerned that if this is truly good and real, why didn't it happen a long time ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's always that question, right? And also an age issue, age difference.
Yeah, yeah, you're a little bit older.
Yes, I am, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
about 17 years.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, well, actually, around maybe closer to. I'm 63, he's 41, so that's 22 years. So only
okay,
five off.
Good.
That's close.
That's not good. Bad. Good for you. You got some fresh, young meat. That's always good.
Yeah. but I wouldn't put it exactly that way, but yeah, that it is true. You're right.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So I'm seeing that this is a pattern for you, and I'm also seeing that this relationship is going to be good for you and good for him as well going forward. But I'm seeing this pattern, this older-younger pattern has repeated itself in past lives of yours. This is not the first yeah. time that you have modeled your romantic life on this older-younger thing.
Yeah, and why do I do that, though? I mean, I guess I know why I do it, but...
Fresh young meat, I mean, is the quick answer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to eat a steak that is fresh out of the oven, or one that's been sitting on the dashboard of a Dodge Charger for 3 weeks? You want the fresh meat. It sizzles. Yeah,
that's true. And because we enjoy, we get along very well, and he's super guy, and I think I'm pretty good as well. So it really clicks. And yeah, we why didn't this happen years ago? Because we knew each other for a long time. So
right. I feel that you have doubt about that. And I'm here to tell you, don't worry about it. You were a different person 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and he was barely legal. So it's good that it didn't happen then, and that it's happening now. So I wouldn't worry about it. You did the same kind of thing. You had a life. You were a crossing guard in the early 1920s, and you were like an older crossing guard. I'm seeing eighth grade, and you had a crush on someone in the fourth grade, and ended up marrying that person. You were actually both women in this particular life. I'm seeing the plaid skirt.
Oh.
Yeah, and you ended up marrying, not legally marrying, but spending the rest of your life together, you two, with a large age disparity. 4 years at the age of eight is a huge disparity, but you managed to make it come together. And once I see you as a life, as a, you were a rodeo horse.
Really?
Yeah, a bucking bronco in a rodeo, no, not a bucking bronco. You were the horses that race around the barrels, not a bronco,
oh,
but
okay.
A fast racer, and you had a cowboy mount you.
Oh, yeah, no. I could go for that, yeah.
I would think you would, yeah. Yeah, so I think you're repeating that pattern because you enjoyed it then, and now, you know, I want to be a cowboy. That could maybe put that song in your iTunes mix to maybe update your music by about 30 years.
Okay, well that's really, you're really good, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and you two have a happy, enjoy that pizza together.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, yes. And listening to Patty.
Like, there's nothing cheesier than listening to a Patty while having pizza.
That's right. That's the best kind of evening romance. Yeah. Thank you
very
much.
I think of it as a delicious combination. Thanks, Larry. Hold on the line. Craig will take your information for your Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations in your area online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks, Larry. Dr. Dingman, hang on the line, and we'll. I don't know if we'll have more callers because I'm glad we spent time with Larry. I don't know how much time we have for others, but we do have one more pizza to give away at 312-981-7200. You're listening pretty late. More in just a moment. Dr. Dingman, we've only got a couple minutes left. I don't think we have enough time for another caller. Do we have any other callers, Craig, or was Larry our one brave soul?
Yeah, Larry was our one brave soul for this evening. We're not going to be able to get anyone else on. Sorry about that.
Well, he was very brave. It's wonderful to talk to him and, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
There you go. I always wonder about when you talk to people about their past lives, does that has to be one of the weirder things, because obviously, you know, they can't, maybe it speaks to them in a way and they have that aha moment or that makes sense. What is your sense with how people react to a past life discovery?
Well, as you say, it is virtually impossible to validate it empirically in this lifetime. But think of it as an echo. You have a lifetime, and you have these experiences like you're having right now. That life ends, and then you're in a disembodied state for a while, and then you choose to be born into the human condition again, and you come back. And as when you are young, 1 to 5 years, the echo is the loudest and the strongest. So in that way, it clouds and influences the person you develop into. But by the time you're 40 or 50, right, the specifics, you've forgotten about them until you are reminded of them. And then there's sort of that makes sense. You know, I drowned in a past life. That's why I don't like going on boats. I'll eat anything. So I must have been a goat in a past life. There are things that make sense and sort of explain motivations and preferences and things of this nature, and quite often those things are what you did and the choices that you made in a previous life.
That's fascinating. I think that there is something to be learned from all that information and insight, and I want to thank you once again. Where can people find out more about your touring schedule and about all the wonderful work that you do, sir?
The best way is to follow me on the Twitter. It is at iTunes Psychic. iTunes like the iTunes and Psychic like the Psychic. And the website is the same, itunespsychic.com. The schedule is there, and the Twitter lists where I'm going and where I'm doing and what time I'll be there.
Well, we always look forward to having you on our show, and we wish you all the best in your journeys. And take very good care. And I'm not giving you any more songs because I don't think I can handle it. Maybe someday. Maybe someday again.
One day, Patty. One day I will read you, and it will open like a flower, and you will see. Perhaps you've had past lives. Maybe, I don't know. You have always refused to give me your data, so it's hard for me to pick you out, especially from far away on the telephone.
I know, but this flower is very picky. More after this. Thank you so much, Dr. Dingman, and we will talk to you again soon. More. I wonder what this does for people, what the range of emotions are, because I think there are some people like, oh, I love that movie. Oh, Jack and Rose. And other people like, oh, my God, not this song. And then there has to be people in the middle who are like, what is this from again? This sounds familiar. Where are you on that, Craig? Do you have any emotional reaction to hearing that?
Well, I've never seen all of Titanic, so that would be
my
first
kind of,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. So you have no... Okay.
But
all right,
certainly this movie gets talked about a whole lot, and I don't know. I mean, you know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care, right. I guess, either way. I'm okay with it.
I maybe if you'd seen it, and so you would understand why I'm so emotionally invested in it, and also... Yeah. I have
seen the end.
For weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, define the end.
I have seen the full end where the boat goes down, they fall in the water, and then he drowns and dies.
Okay.
He freezes, drowns. He's frozen.
So you,
how does he die? Is it from drowning? Is it from being frozen? Is it a combination?
He's frozen.
Okay. He's frozen. So she kind of peels
clinging.
Him off of the...
Oh, yeah, she peels kinda, him off?
She does.
I don't remember that
she
part.
Does. She kind of peels him
That's
off the
not
wood.
Great.
Yeah. Because she has to swim to the other frozen person, the other the other mansicle. And get his whistle so she can get the attention.
And then there's all the people in the boats just kind of watching, right? They're far off in the boats, just sort of.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people don't enjoy talking about this, but I don't know why it's stuck in my craw this week. Maybe it's been a couple things, but I believe the actress who played Rose was on television earlier this week mentioning that that Rose could have saved his life.
Oh yeah, Kate Winslet definitely thinks there was enough space for two.
Yeah, and who else thinks there was enough space? And I love the show MythBusters. By the way, they are in their final season, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to miss this show because we've watched a lot of they try everything. They blow a lot of things up. They shoot stuff up. They do drinking tests. They try to see like how much alcohol you have to consume before you get to spit. They do all kinds of things. But I didn't know that they had done a Titanic test to see whether or not there was enough room on the board for Rose to also save Jack. So do you have some of the audio from the MythBusters
test? Yeah,
I
got the 3 minutes of the conclusion kind of this test.
Let's see what the conclusion.
Let's go ahead.
Let's see if we can both get on this thing.
Will Adam and Jamie's Titanic tale be consigned to Davy Jones' locker? Jack's first attempts to get aboard the board seem very similar to the movie. The board does appear to be only made for one.
You keep falling off, Patty.
But once they stabilize and get their balance, things are looking up.
All right.
Baby steps.
So when I first got on, it felt anything but stable. Just like the movie and the small-scale test we did, it felt like it could tip at any moment.
It's holding us up out of the water, mostly.
And if we were in nearly freezing temperatures in danger of passing out, that would be a real issue. So I had an idea.
You're wearing a life jacket. What say, Rose? Spread some of her buoyancy around. Let's put it underneath this thing and get every bit we can out of it.
And it's the MacGyver-style tweak that really puts the nail in this myth's coffin. The additional buoyancy has made a massive difference. They're no longer floundering around, but sitting pretty. In fact, so pretty that Rose is ready to nap her way to the 63-minute rescue.
80% of my body is out of the water and in the air.
Yeah, same here. If we can hold this sort of stationary, I think we're golden.
Jamie, we're almost there. 15 seconds.
Well, you know, however noble Jack's intentions might have been, sometimes discretion is the better part of valor.
Hang on, Rose!
With all we've learned, I think Jack's death was needless. Don't call me Rose.
Rose.
Sorry.
Agree. Well, and the other thing is, if you look at the picture, they also, she's, that I never even thought of that. She lays the entire length of the board, right?
Yeah.
But what they did was they both went side by side,
right,
lengthwise, right? So they're not lengthwise, but they're, I don't know how you would describe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was
she
a way
took up
to.
All the space.
The whole board.
Really,
I mean, I know she got a lot of dress
all.
On, but
yeah,
it was wrong. So very, very
yeah,
wrong.
They seem really happy about the way that worked out. And it was genius to put the life preserver under the board. That was something that maybe Jack and Rose wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. The fact that one, the six in my craw, and obviously other people, you know, had to contact MythBusters, or it bothered them as well. But you know who else was very angry at the at James? Well, James Cameron. I mean, look, it's a movie, right? It's fictionalized. And there's there's only so much you can do in storytelling. But there are a lot of people who point out mistakes in Titanic. What's the name of the scientist that really was bothered by some of the sky shots of it?
I don't know, is that on
Titanic, the night of it? Yeah.
Is that the same guy who was upset with everything that happened in Gravity and everything? Are you talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes, Neil deGrasse. I don't know. I can never remember his name. Neil deGrasse Tyson was very upset about the
really?
Sky shots.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, no, he does not. He said actually James Cameron went in after Neil deGrasse Tyson called him on it, and James Cameron changed the night shots to match up with what Neil deGrasse Tyson's what he said that would have happened that night.
Wow.
The latitude and longitude at that time. So he knew exactly what stars should have been there at that moment.
James Cameron does make an appearance on this MythBusters episode. I don't know if you want to hear that part of the
conversation. Oh, I do, please.
Okay,
yes.
We'll go ahead and play that as well.
James, we have some good news and we have some bad news.
All right, give me the good news.
Okay.
Well, the good news is the movie got it right as far as hypothermia. Jack would have drowned and Rose would have been able to hang on long enough to be rescued.
The bad news is, based on our experiments, we have to find that they both could have survived on that board.
Really?
There were a couple of things, and the first was that we were able to retie the life preserver that Rose was wearing underneath the board, and that gave it more buoyancy.
And we were able to prop up our bodies on the board so that most of our body mass was actually outside of the water. Based on that, we got to say, this is plausible. Rose and Jack could have survived.
I think you guys are missing the point here. The script says Jack dies. He has to die. So maybe we screwed up and the board should have been a little tiny bit smaller, but the dude's going down.
I can't argue with that.
No.
The script says Jack has to die. Right. So science and practicality be damned. Jack
right.
has to die, Craig.
Yeah, you guys don't get it. The movie said that we kill him, so he dies no matter what.
Well, apparently in 2012, he said, actually, it's not a question of room. It's a question of buoyancy. So I think that's why I think the MythBusters came and slapped him around a little bit.
Yeah, the MythBusters, you can't challenge those guys. They do a great job of taking on a lot of those movie challenges.
Look, it's one of the most successful movies of all time. So I guess Jack had to die. Like, obviously, Jack dying worked.
Right.
So I guess.
Do you think there's a scientific way to prove whether or not Friends was a better show than Seinfeld?
I don't think there's a scientific way to
prove
that.
All right.
No, I think it's completely personal taste. it has to be personal taste.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I'm sure you could get two psychologists. You can get all kinds of professors, sociology professors, psychologists, and historians, and explain why one joke works or why this humor is more intelligent. Or you know, I don't know. I can't. It's not. It's what makes me laugh. I get to like what I like.
No, that's nice.
I'm a little bit surprised in LA how many people are talking about the Amy Schumer drama, and it's funny how many people out here also agree. And those of you who aren't aware, Amy Schumer has come under attack for stealing material, and the person that lends it the most credibility is Kathleen Madigan. Like, everybody else is like, well, I like Wendy Liebman. I don't really know. She might have been feeling a little down that night when she tweeted out, you know, first Amy Schumer uses my joke on her HBO special, you know, and she all these things. And then Tammy Pascatelli kind of jumped in. But it's Kathleen Madigan who jumped in, and people are like, oh, this just got real.
Well, and it is weird. Whenever any of these things are kind of, when a comedian is challenged for stealing material, all those YouTube videos pop up and they put side by side kind of demonstrations of how it might be a little too close to someone else's joke. Yeah. And there are a lot of those out there now.
Well, and I was talking to someone else who said they think part of it is in this atmosphere of everything is available if you just Google it, that younger people tend to take whatever's on, like everything is up for sale, up for grabs. Not up for sale, but up for grabs. If it's already out there, that doesn't mean that you can't do it. Like there seems to be some gray area as to what is intellectual property, because you can download songs for free and you can copy stuff. Like comics are in that sort of realm, but we're not held to the same standards as journalists, right? If a journalist, that's how a lot of journalists got in trouble a few years ago, was copying entire elements of other writers. But when it comes to comics, it's very hard to explain that this is how you make your career, is coming up with new material that's in your voice. But do you think that people nowadays think that if it's online, it's open,
it's fair game
consumption?
No, I think you're right about that. And especially, I saw someone say that with Twitter and all the different social media platforms out there, people make a lot of jokes on those, and that's just rife for people stealing it. If you make a joke on social media and someone sees it, they just take it, you know? There's no real ownership of the things that you're putting out there for everyone to consume.
Yeah, that's why I don't write many jokes. I was telling a friend of ours that I mostly just do photos. That's why I do so many selfies and pictures, is what we're doing. Here's who we're with, where we are. Because I find that writing jokes, one, you know, you set the bar for yourself. Well, I'm going to write 3 jokes a day, or I'm going to post something online. But once it's out there, it's completely consumable and stealable by other people. It's open for theft.
Yeah, it's an interesting day and age we live in, Patty.
I know. So there we go. I don't know how we went from the Titanic sinking to Amy Schumer's career, but you draw the line. More after this on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
Well, that's almost time for the end of our show, and there are a few things we didn't get to. Craig, you and I didn't have a chance to talk too much today, but we have in the last few weeks discussed the state of Illinois budget impasse and some of the fallout. One of them was that the Secretary of State would no longer send out notices when your license plate expired, which we were all used to getting that, and still putting it on our refrigerator and possibly being late anyway. So get on that if you haven't received your notice, because you're not going to renew your plates. But here's a new one, Craig.
Go ahead.
You have an older car, as I do, which is no longer running. But the Illinois EPA will no longer send out emission test notices.
Wonderful.
So you are still responsible for making sure that your car is compliant, but you will not be receiving any renewal notices for that test.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. It's really, really helpful.
I don't understand why these are like, this is the fallout, right? Like, you're not gonna get that reminder that you're breaking the law.
We cannot afford to send stuff in the mail anymore, guys. We are at that level.
Wait, but how about this? Yes. We're all grown-ups. Write it down somewhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And just
put it on
your
app.
Alarm. Come on.
Yeah.
Why do you need them to poke you like they're your mother?
This... or your dentist. Hey, it's been 6 months since we've seen you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you, Esmeralda. This is something that seems like it doesn't need to ever come back.
No, as long as they say it in places, they say it on the website, on the news.
The notice when you got it renewed the last time. Yeah.
Exactly. On the little sticker, it'll probably say like 6 months from now. So you count.
check your glove compartment. When was the last time you went and done did that? And whatnot.
Exactly.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was very cool.
I never do anything
unless someone sends me a letter in the mail telling me to do it. So I'm confused as to what I'm going to do with this stuff. I did miss my license plate renewal, by the way. I did tell you
tickets.
That, Patty. Yeah, I'm just going to get a lot of tickets.
Let's readjust. Let's use this period of stress and strain in the state of Illinois as we go through this emergency and sort of reset ourselves as to how we can be responsible. How can we be less of a, I don't know. It's not that we don't need the notices. We don't, this is an expenditure that can be better used somewhere else. whether it's for education, for senior citizens, for veterans. Let's stop spending the money on paper, on and on the notices, on the ink, on the stamps. This is really, I mean, am I the only one that thinks that perhaps there's a veteran who could use shelter, who could use support, who could use a job, rather than like, hey, Patty, looks like it's time for you to go see if your car is crappy for the environment.
Right. In totally. In all seriousness, you are completely right, Patty.
Totally.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying for all of us.
Honestly. Oh, no, for sure.
How about email?
An email? A pop-up ad?
Yeah.
What do you need in your life that you need somebody to like knock on your door?
I get a ton of Evites now. They could just send me an Evite to get my plate renewed.
I love that the state of Illinois Evite.
And it's all the same. It's the same for everyone. No.
Yeah. What now?
The same amount of time.
No,
emissions test.
They happen at different times though, Esmeralda. Oh, you wouldn't get it the same time each year. It depends on when you did your last one. So I was supposed to renew in December because I got my initial plate when I bought my car in December.
So they should do one where it's like on this day, like tax season, April 15th.
Right. Yeah.
That's when everyone's got to do it. Right. Go on and do it. And if you don't do it before then, you're in trouble.
Exactly. I like it. Get it done. There's actually a website that is tracking the fallout from the state of Illinois' impasse. We should do that. Every day we should highlight something that isn't getting done because the state sucks. Sorry, was that too much?
We don't have a budget, so we kind of do suck.
Yeah, we do. We really do. And if we don't have the website, let me try to see it. This is what we have to track. We'd like to do positive things, but I think that it's time for us to start holding the state. And this is everybody. We've talked to legislators, representatives, senators, Democrat and Republican. We've talked about the governor. We have not been able to secure an interview with Governor Rauner, but something definitely has to be done in this situation. Speaking of something that has to be done, I was listening to Bill and Wendy's show, and Craig, we've been meaning to talk about this for a while now. Yeah. There are places that are asking their schools in different parts of the country, and I believe in Britain, that are asking parents to no longer drop their children off while wearing pajamas.
Yes, PJs
children.
Are not okay. Apparently, for dropping your kids off. There's also a story that PJs are not okay at the doctor's office, the dentist's office. A lot of people are coming out against wearing PJs.
The adults or the children?
The adults.
The adults.
Yeah.
They don't want the
kids off.
Mm-hmm. And then court, I believe. I'm going to, the judges, they get to do that kind of stuff. But the person in charge of pickups and drop-offs at the school telling you, like, why don't you clean that up? Right. Seems inappropriate. But Wendy was talking about how, like, once in a while, she shows up as she is. And she had a texter tell her that, if her husband starts looking somewhere else, she shouldn't be surprised. And
oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I know. It was a total personal attack. And that guy can suck it. I don't know what he's sucking. Eggs. Yeah. Let's just say eggs.
Hey.
And for those of you who are worried.
Yes.
But I have some hard-boiled eggs he can suck.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
My mom would be for this because she doesn't like when people don't put pants on. Or put proper attire on when they leave the house.
See, and I have my moments. I have my places. Like I would never issue some sort of statement to them. I just in my mind go, I can't believe they're wearing flip flops at church. Right. That's in my mind.
Real quick, we have Chris on the line. He wanted to make a comment about intellectual property.
Okay. Hey Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I teach music lessons. I'm a brass teacher, and I have got so many students that want photocopies of music, and I'm like, look, guys, you got to buy this stuff. This is intellectual property, and
right.
They were like, well, why can't you photocopy this for me? I'm like, well, you can look at it. I can show you my book. That's why I've been, collecting these books for, since I've been in eighth grade. It is intellectual property, and I don't care how old it is. You cannot, it's like, you don't want to put your jokes out there online. I agree totally, 100% with that.
Well, but you're finding that younger people are, and like you said, they're saying things like, why can't we just...
Many things are getting stolen now. People download movies illegally. A lot of that stuff is happening now because of the internet.
And can I tell you something? Chris, I think it's why I enjoy doing radio so much, because it's a conversation, right? So it happens between us. It's something that is organic. It's going to, you know, people can listen to it on our podcast, but there's nothing to copy here. It's us. It's just this wonderful thing that happens. It comes and it goes. And I think that's why I enjoy radio so much. It really is a pleasure to do.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And thank you for passing along that information to your students and reminding them that hard work pays off, and it should, in the process of sharing that as well. Have a great night. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.